The Korean War was on then, right?
It was, the Korean War was just about, I think it was over with as far as the actual fighting.
But we still had a draft, and the draft was on because of the Korean War.
The draft was on, and everybody had to sign up at 18 years of age. And if you got drafted, you had to serve a minimum of 18 months.
All right. Then what? How many years were you in service?
Actually, I ended up 3 years. At the time, I enlisted instead of being drafted because I had the idea that I would go ahead and go to officer's training school because I had all that 4 years of background in high school.
You became an officer then, right?
No, I never became an officer. I did my basic training at Fort Chaffee, Arkansas, and actually it was a real rough winter, and they didn't have anybody working in the orderly room, so I actually got to spend basic training in the orderly room. I didn't even have to go to the field because I'd had the military school experience.
Okay.
And after that, why, then I got transferred from Fort Chaffee to Germany. And I was supposed to go to a field artillery outfit up in the mountains overlooking East Germany. But there again, we flew from Fort Dix, New Jersey to Frankfurt. And that was another factor where there was a big change in my life when I got to Germany.
And tell us about that.
Well, when you get to Germany at Rhein-Main, you spend the night in Frankfurt, and then the next day you go to a classification and assignment. And we're sitting in this room, and the warrant officer asked if anybody could type. And, of course, usually they say you shouldn't volunteer because you don't know what's going to happen. So I raised my hand, and the warrant officer sent me upstairs to the orderly room, and they didn't have a company clerk at that time. And the captain said, "Can you type?" And I said, "Yes, I can type." I really wasn't very good, but they changed my orders. Instead of getting on a train that day and being sent up to the mountains, I got to stay right there in Frankfurt. And I was typing up court-martials in the morning, and these were what they called summary court-martials, that when the troops came in, they were supposed to come in at 9 o'clock in the evening, and they were told if they didn't come back to the building at 9 o'clock, they'd be locked out, and then they would have a summary court-martial and be fined the next morning. So that's where I started out, in the orderly room, and then within a few months, why, I got promoted, where I was giving the orientation to the troops that came in from the States. This replacement company, the 261st Replacement Company, was also handling all the troops, single soldiers, that were going back to the States. All personnel that were flying to and from Fort Dix by air. And of course, everybody wanted to get their orders from Heidelberg to fly. They didn't want to go to Bremerhaven and go home by ship. One time, prior to Christmas, the president said that he was going to have a lot of extra troops from Germany home for Christmas. Well, these single soldiers all started coming into our replacement company, and we had these billets that were more like apartment buildings, and normally we would only handle maybe 100 to 150 at a time to fly back to Fort Dix. But this time we were up to over 300 single men wanting to be home in time for Christmas, because that's what they were promised. Well, it turned out that MATS, the Military Air Transport Service, didn't have enough planes and pilots to get these soldiers home for Christmas. So one of the men called his congressman in the States and told him what was going on. And within 4 hours, there were two generals down interviewing all the single men. And all of a sudden, they found enough airplanes to fly everybody home for Christmas.
So you're honorably discharged when then?
I might tell you one other story.
Yep.
In this unit, there was called a alien European enlistment. This is where another soldier and I were asked to help at the alien European enlistment section there in Frankfurt. And there were two things that they did. When, if you were an American citizen and also had a dual citizenship of a European country, when you became 18, you had to decide which way you were going to go. And if you decided to be the U.S. citizen, you had to come to the States and serve your 18 months in the Army. The other thing that this particular unit did was during the Hungarian Revolution, they had all these men that left Budapest and they were in Italy, and the U.S. Army brought the men from Italy to Frankfurt. Basically, it was illegal at the time because they hadn't been sworn into the Army yet, but when they got to Frankfurt, they were sworn into the Army, and then everything was legal. And we had a large consolidated mess hall that one of my roommates managed, and it ran 24/7, and they would take these European enlistees, refugees, I guess you'd call them, to the mess hall. They'd march them over there three times a day to feed them, and they'd never seen so much food in their lifetime, and they would just pile food on those trays. But what the program was, we were working on what we call 201 files and putting together all the information and have the packet ready when they went back to South Carolina. And once in a while, these people, there'd be a flagging action and the person was gone. So we think that the Russians were actually sending some people through the system to see what was going on. But they had personal histories, and I remember this one gentleman had been in Siberia for 3 years before he escaped. What they did when they got to South Carolina, they taught them English, and then they were, if they stayed in the U.S. Army for 6 years, they'd get their U.S. citizenship, but they would bring these people back to Europe and put them up in the mountains in the radio shacks and listen to what was going on behind the Iron Curtain.
That's a great story.